Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Today we're talking about a social issue, and it is the fight for gay rights in the U.S. Gay people, of course, are homosexuals, people who aren't like most people, like boy, girl, girl, boy. They're usually boy, boy, or girl, girl. That's a gay person. And we're talking about gay rights in the U.S., and I guess they've come quite a long way. They used to be picked on by lots of people, and they still are to a certain
extent. Well, it was illegal to even be gay.
Exactly. Yeah. So things have changed in the U.S., and in Western civilization as well. But that idea is kind of spreading out here to Taiwan. What do you think about this? But today we're going to talk about the fight or the struggle for gay rights in the United States. Let's get to it. Let's read today's article one time.
Imagine being cast aside from your family, friends, and society for no other reason than for who you fall in love with. Sadly, this is what homosexual people have been faced with for centuries. Homosexuality has been persecuted with social ostracism, imprisonment, torture, and even death. It wasn't until the 1920s that things began to change, with a population rise in large American cities. Larger populations meant greater anonymity and privacy, leading to the growth of the underground homosexual subculture. This growth continued into the 1940s, when gay men and women found acceptance in cities such as New York. Starting in the 1950s, however, President Dwight D. Eisenhower's conservative government banned homosexuals from federal workplaces, with state governments following suit. Police harassment happened frequently, and raids became commonplace in establishments known to support homosexuality. This relentless intolerance escalated until the night of June 27, 1969, when New York police raided the Stonewall Inn, a popular gay club in Greenwich Village. Instead of greeting the police with the usual resignation, patrons fought back. This resulted in a three-day surge of riots across the city. The fight motivated advocates to challenge years of discrimination. Exactly 1 year later, more than 5,000 people marched through New York City as a commemoration of the riots and a show of support. With that march, both modern-day gay pride parades and grassroots liberation movements were born. Over the course of the following two decades, the U.S. government repealed the ban on homosexuals in the workplace, and half of all U.S. states decriminalized homosexual behavior. Nevertheless, it was the American Psychiatric Association's, APA, monumental decision to strike homosexuality from its diagnostic and statistical manual in 1973 that really sparked the shift in judgment. Psychiatrists stopped labeling homosexuality as a mental illness, alleviating a painful stigma that had plagued the community for years.
All right, let's talk about gay rights in the United States, the fight for or the struggle for gay rights there. We begin by saying, imagine being cast aside from your family, friends, and society for no other reason than for who you fall in love with. This happens a lot in societies all over the world, not just for homosexuals, but for heterosexuals as well. If you fall in love with somebody from the wrong family, or from the wrong side of the railroad tracks, as we sometimes say in America, your parents would say, nope, I'm not going to let you marry that person. He is a scoundrel. He is scum. Forget about it. Yeah, imagine that. If you're cast aside, they won't want to talk to you. They'll kick you out of the house. Mm. They won't want to send you emails or write on your Facebook wall.
Well, sadly, this is what homosexual people have been faced with for centuries. You could also say, sadly, this is what homosexuals have been faced with for centuries, because homosexual is an adjective and a noun these days. Homosexuality has been persecuted, it says, with social ostracism, imprisonment, torture, and even death. If you're persecuted, people are constantly troubling you. They're hostile towards you. You get treated poorly, usually because of your race or political or religious views, like the Jews who were persecuted by the Nazis in World War II. Let's take a look at some of these things here. Social ostracism. Ostracism is kind of a big word. It just means to exclude someone from a group or a club or even society. You tell them, oh, we don't want you here. You can't hang out with us. So they would be ostracized from society. Imprisonment. To imprison someone means to put them in prison or keep them in a place like a prison. It used to be, as I said earlier, against the law to be homosexual. So if they caught you or you admitted that you were gay, you'd be thrown into prison. They were also tortured. If you torture someone, you hurt someone, and you're trying to inflict enough pain so that they'll either do what you want them to do, or maybe you're trying to punish them with some torture.
Mm-hmm, right, to get information or something like that. There are various means of torturing people.
Like spies. We torture spies.
We torture spies, indeed. We tie them to some kind of table, and then we stick pins in, under their fingernails or
stuff like that.
There are various different ways to torture people. But yes, indeed, if you were a homosexual in the past, you could be persecuted. People would ostracize you. They would put you in jail, and they might even torture you, and they might even kill you.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't until the 1920s that things began to change with the population rise in large American cities. So, yes, indeed, before that time, the USA was mostly a rural country. Most people lived in the country and lived on farms, but they began to move into the cities, I imagine, because of the Industrial Revolution. So cities like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles got bigger and bigger. So that's when things began to change for homosexuals. A population just refers to how many people live in a certain area. What's the population of Taipei, for example? I think it's about, what, 2.8, 3 million people or something like that?
I'm not really sure. That's a good question. So if you have those larger populations, you can kind of slip unseen, unknown into these big groups. People don't pay enough attention to you if you're in a large city. I used to live in New York City, and I felt like, you know, even though there are a lot of people, nobody's really just focused on you. There are too many people. So you have more privacy sometimes. Privacy just means nobody bothers you. You're left alone to do what you need to do in private. So you're kind of free from being observed or disturbed by other people. Now, all of this change through larger populations led to the growth of underground homosexual subcultures. Now, underground means it's kind of secret. It's not really underground. It's secret. And a subculture is a group that doesn't really fit into the majority of the people. So they have their own culture within the larger culture. Usually they have beliefs or they have interests that are at odds or they conflict with the majority of the people.
Right. This word underground kind of reminds me of underground comic books that I used to read back in college. They were comic books that talked about things that most people didn't want to talk about, like drugs and hippie culture and stuff like that.
Okay.
They were legal, but you could still buy them, but they were still considered underground comics, and I was disappointed that there isn't so much of an underground comics culture here.
That's because it's all come up to the ground. Everybody says and does what they want to now, Tom.
Yeah, true. Yes, no longer underground. I guess that's true.
We don't have such a conservative society anymore.
Not anymore. But this is a subculture, the homosexual subculture. So I guess they were able to do what they wanted in big cities like New York City. And this growth continued into the 1940s when gay men and women found acceptance in cities such as New York. Acceptance means that they got there and they found other people that felt the same way that they did. A lot of these people probably came from rural places where homosexuality was frowned on, and they were tired of being treated like they were criminals or something. When they got to New York, they found people just like themselves, and they thought, hey, I belong here. I don't feel like I'm being excluded or ostracized.
Well, if you think about it, the arts, to a large extent, have a lot of homosexuals who are in the artistic fields, like acting or even painting.
Design.
Dance, whatever. So there were a lot of similar people so that they felt like they could hang out with people who didn't think they were bad or criminals. Now, starting in the 1950s, however, we had a new president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, a former soldier, an extremely good military guy, and the military's kind of conservative. And so his own government was also conservative, and they banned homosexuals from federal workplaces, with state governments following suit. So let's take a look at this. If you're conservative, you tend to cling to or believe in traditional values like family and religion. But his government was also conservative, and they banned homosexuals from working in federal jobs. If you ban something, guys, you say it's illegal. We're not going to allow this to take place. So it's officially or legally prohibited if it's banned. Federal means a system of government that is overseeing the whole country. We have the federal government in the U.S., and we have state governments, which are local governments. State governments also followed suit. If you follow suit, you do what somebody else did before. So just like the federal government said, oh, if you're homosexual, you can't work in the federal government. The state government said the same thing. Oh, if you're gay, you cannot work in any state government job.
Right, so those other state governments followed suit. They did the same thing. And police harassment happened frequently, and raids became commonplace in establishments known to support homosexuality. So if there was some kind of a gay bar, for example, in some town in Oklahoma or in Indiana or wherever, state governments would send the police there, and they would raid those establishments, or there would be police harassments where the police would find gay men or gay women and maybe beat them up or threaten to arrest them or do other things to them. That's police harassment. Sometimes the police are kind of naughty when they're not supposed to be. And a raid is when somebody attacks a certain place, a military raid, for example, if they attack some place and try to take it over. These things became commonplace, which means they happened pretty much all the time, and an establishment is usually some kind of business. In this case, we could be talking about gay clubs or gay bars or whatever. And homosexuality, of course, is the overall term to refer to when men and women get together.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a few minutes to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Alice。今天我们要阅读的是第16单元的第一天课程 The Fight for Gay Rights in the US。 不知道大家有没有注意到，从今年6月底开始，很多人的脸书头像都飘着彩虹旗。这是因为今年6月底的时候，美国联邦最高法院做出一项具有历史里程碑意义的判决，美国同性伴侣结婚的权利受到美国宪法的保障。连奥巴马本人都说这是 Love Wins， 爱战胜了一切。但同志平权能走到今天这一步并不容易。我们看到课文第一段的第一句 Imagine being cast aside from your family, friends, and society for no other reason than for who you fall in love with。 想象你不为别的原因，而只因为你爱上的人，就被排除在家庭、朋友和社会之外。本句是祈使句，所以用原形动词 imagine 开头。 imagine 是想象的意思，后面可以接名词、动名词或 that 子句。例如 I couldn't imagine living in a place where there's no electricity， 我无法想象住在一个没有电的地方。我们接着看这一句的一个片语 no other 点点点 than 点点点，意思是不是其他什么，而是什么。例如 I joined this club for no other reason than to be with my friends， 我加入这个社团没有其他原因， 而是为了和我朋友在一起。同性恋好几世纪以来都饱受歧视，而这样的现象一直到了西元1920年代才有所改变。因为大都市的成长和崛起，到了1940年代，同性恋甚至可以在大都市找到愿意接纳他们的人。我们看到第一段的第四句， It wasn't until the 1920s that things began to change with the population rise in large American cities. 一直到西元1920年代，随着美国大城市的人口成长，事情才开始有所改变。本句使用了 until 的强调句型， It is not until 点点点 that 点点点，表示直到怎么怎么样才怎么怎么样。例如， It was not until I came home that I found I had left my wallet at school. 我直到回家了才发现我把钱包留在学校。此句型也可以用倒装句来表示，将 not until 包括 until 所接的名词或句子整个移到句首，然后把主要子句倒装。例如， Joyce didn't know the importance of her boyfriend until she lost him. 乔伊斯直到失去她男友才知道她的重要。倒装后变成 not until Joyce lost her boyfriend did she know his importance. 课文第二段说明同志平权运动并非因此一帆风顺。在1950年代艾森豪总统执政的时候，他禁止同性恋者出现在联邦工作场所。我们看到第二段的最后一句， Police harassment happened frequently and raids became commonplace in establishments known to support homosexuality. 警察骚扰经常发生，而以支持同性恋闻名的机构或商业场所被临检也变得司空见惯。我们来看 raid， R-A-I-D 这个单字，它可以当名词或动词，有临检、突袭或抢劫的意思。例如， This teenager was arrested for raiding a bank. 这名青少年因为抢劫银行而被逮捕。我们再看到这一句的另一个名词 establishment， 这个字在本句中不是建立的意思，而是指 a place or organization where people live or do business， 也就是人们居住或做生意的地方或组织。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Okay, guys, we're going to continue talking about the fight for gay rights in the U.S.When we last left you, we were talking about how things changed in the 1950s because President Dwight D. Eisenhower came in with a very conservative point of view, and they passed laws banning homosexuals from working in the federal government and also working in local governments and the state governments. They couldn't work there either. Police also were frequently harassing places, establishments that were kind and welcoming to gay, the gay community. And so it was kind of tough. Now, this relentless intolerance escalated until the night of June 27th, 1969. What happened then? We're going to talk about it. Let's talk about first what intolerance means. If you're intolerant, You don't want to listen to any other viewpoints except your own. You don't believe in anybody else's right to even have their own opinion. You just don't want to listen to it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to face it. You're not welcoming of other people's opinions if you're intolerant. Now, if something escalates, it gets increasingly bad. It could, the price of something can escalate, gets higher and higher and higher. Here we're talking about intolerance escalating, getting worse and worse and worse until the night of June 27th when the New York police raided a place called the Stonewall Inn. It was a popular gay club in Greenwich Village. Greenwich is down towards the southern part of Manhattan, and it's kind of a cool neighborhood. It's still very much a gay hangout, I would say. A lot of gay couples live down there.
I would not know because I do not live in New York, but, well, I know more about San Francisco. I guess the Castro district of San Francisco is where a lot of homosexuals hang out, so there are probably some interesting bars there and stuff like that. But in any case here, the New York police had had enough of these gay people in the Stonewall Inn, so they conducted a raid there. And instead of greeting the police with the usual resignation, patrons fought back. So, yes, gay people in New York were probably used to being harassed by the police, and they just tolerated it. They just kind of looked the other way. That's when you greet the police with the usual resignation, which means you just kind of give up. You don't really fight back. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Okay, do what you want. But this time, no. We've had enough. We're going to fight back. This is an injustice. And a patron, of course, is somebody who, you know, goes to a certain restaurant or an establishment.
Quite a bit. They're a
customer there, so that's a patron.
This resulted in a 3-day surge of riots across the city. We've had riots occasionally in this world. When people are unhappy with something, they protest. Now, there can be peaceful protests or riots. Riots sometimes can cause a lot of damage because what happens are people start being pretty violent. They break things. They overturn cars. They start fires. They do lots of things to really cause a lot of disturbance. There's a lot of chaos during riots. If there's a surge in something, it just means something is very similar to escalate. There's an increase in something. So there was an increase of riots over a 3-day period across the city. I bet it was kind of dangerous.
Indeed. And the fight motivated advocates to challenge years of discrimination. Okay, so of course, if you're an advocate, that means you try to promote some kind of idea or some kind of cause. And of course, these riots motivated those advocates to do something. If you're motivated to do something, that means you have a reason to do it, and you're actually going to get off your butt and do something about it. So you're motivated. And of course, the advocates wanted to challenge these years of discrimination. Discrimination means that people are judging you because of your race or because of your sexual orientation, because of your gender or whatever. It's unjust. You're not being treated fairly. This is discrimination. We talk about racial discrimination in the United States. White people discriminated black people or discriminated against black people for many years. And I guess to a certain extent, they're still doing it. But they wanted to challenge all this discrimination. No, we want to get jobs in the government just like anybody else. We don't want to be hassled by the police. And we want to have our own establishments that don't get attacked.
Yeah, sounds like it's pretty fair to ask for that sort of thing. Now, exactly 1 year later after the riots, more than 5,000 people marched through New York City as a commemoration of the riots and a show of support. We'll often have marches through cities as people demonstrate or protest something. Commemoration means you're doing something to remember a particular event or person or maybe even a day in history. So they wanted to remember the riots and also show support for other homosexuals. Now, with that march, both modern-day gay pride parades and grassroots liberation movements were born. I remember back when I was in, I guess, high school, there were a lot of gay parades that were just starting up. And the first time I went to Paris, I experienced a gay parade that was a little shocking, I must say, because there were a lot of naked people.
Ooh.
Yeah, they had sprayed their bodies with paint. But that's a way to draw attention to your cause. So a lot of advocates will often participate in these parades to bring attention and awareness to their cause, their political cause. Grassroots means it's connected to people who aren't in important and powerful positions. They're just the most basic level of a group. They're not particularly the leaders or people who have a lot of power to wield. Liberation is a word that means getting your freedom, free from something. It could be free from imprisonment, free from slavery. free from being controlled by your government, things like that.
Okay, over the course of the following two decades, or during the next two decades, the next 20 years, the U.S. government repealed the ban on homosexuals in the workplace. To repeal here just means they get rid of the law, so it's okay for gay people to have government jobs. And half of all U.S. states decriminalized homosexual behavior. Half of the states said it's not illegal to be homosexual. To decriminalize something means to make it legal. In the United States, I think it's Oregon and Colorado, they have decriminalized marijuana. You can smoke marijuana or use marijuana in those two states now.
Nevertheless, it was the American Psychiatric Association's APA monumental decision to strike homosexuality from its diagnostic and statistical manual in 1973 that really sparked the shift in judgment. We have a group of psychiatrists who sit on this board and made this decision. A psychiatrist is someone who practices working with people who are having mental issues, mental difficulties, mental problems. This board of psychiatrists decided to take homosexuality out of their diagnostic and statistical manual back in 1973. If something's monumental, it's really, really, really big. A monument that we build in different areas of the world is like a statue or a big plaque or something that helps us remember somebody who is important. So if it's a monumental decision, it was important.
So they got rid of this thing in the book, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, kind of like their book of instructions, and that sparked the shift. To spark means to start something, as if you're starting a fire with a spark, a little tiny piece of fire there that starts a bigger one. And psychiatrists, those who study the diseases of the mind, stopped labeling homosexuality as a mental illness. So they no longer said you're sick in the head if you're gay, and that alleviated a painful stigma. To alleviate means to make something less severe. Mm-hmm. You want to alleviate your symptoms if you have a terrible disease by taking medicine or something like that. A stigma here is just some kind of meaning that people attach to something, and they want to get rid of it. They want to lessen the stigma that had plagued the community. To plague means to cause problems for, to cause a disease or something like that. And so now it was okay, at least more okay, to be homosexual than it was in the past.
That's right, guys. Right now we're going to quickly listen to our Chinese teacher.
文章的第三段提到，因为受不了警方一再的骚扰，当警方又再次临检一家知名同性恋 pub 的时候，同性恋者开始反抗，而争取自由的同志平权运动也因此展开。我们看到这一段的第二句， Instead of greeting the police with the usual resignation, patrons fought back. 顾客没有像平常一样对警方做出屈从的回应，而是反击。片语 instead of 有而不是的意思，后面要接名词或 ving， 可以放在句首或句尾。例如 ，Peter played video games all day instead of preparing for the exam。彼得整天都在打电动，而不是为考试做准备。接着来看这一句的一个名词 resignation， 在本句是顺从、听天由命的意思，但这个字还有辞职的意思。例如。After being accused of taking bribes, the minister handed in his resignation. 这名部长在被指控受贿后提出了辞职。文章的最后一段提到，在几十年的奋斗后，同性恋行为不再被视为一种犯法行为，也不再被认为是一种心理疾病。我们看到这一段的第二句 nevertheless， 一直到 the shift in judgment。这个句子看起来虽然很长，但其实结构很简单。本句的主词是 The American Psychiatric Association's APA Monumental Decision， 而本句的主要动词是 sparked， 受词是 the shift in judgment。这里用的是强调句型 it is 点点点 that 点点点，把要强调的部分放在 it is 和 that 中间。剩下的句子就放在 that 后面。 课文里的句子要强调的是主词，所以就把整个主词放在 was 和 that 中间。以上就是今天课文讲解的部分，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, guys, that's it for today. We have day two of our lesson called The Fight for Gay Rights in the U.S. We're going to talk about that in our next program. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.